from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Chris delivers. Swing and a miss. He got him. Ball game over. The Red Sox win it today, 4-1. They take 2 of 3 from the Astros and a fantastic, if at times rocky, road trip through Baltimore and Houston.
The Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Houston Astros today. Nice win. 3 games out of a wild card spot just when I declared them dead. They show a little bit of life against a good baseball team playing good baseball. It's Jones and Arcan here today.
Hey.
On WEEI. Nothing else going on besides Red Sox, right, Arcan?
No, nothing at all. May looked good in practice today, I think. Mayo still wishy-washy about the quarterback competition.
I think that door is definitely ajar. I would agree with that.
I'd say.
But yes, if you're familiar with any of the news, not to make it about ourselves here today and not about the Boston Red Sox, but I'd say it's worth addressing. Who had this report first? It must have been Chad Finn, right, in the Boston Globe, an intrepid reporter. I'm sure he must have gotten this scoop first.
I think the press release just came out. Don't think anyone scooped it.
Oh, interesting. I'd have to double check. But so in news that came out today, I guess in a press release from WEEI, maybe some people were flat-footed. There are going to be some changes here at WEEI, and it's going to start with the afternoon show. Myself, Arcand, Mego, no longer going to be doing a show beyond this week together. I believe the three of us are going to be together tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Mego had a scheduled day off on Friday, so I believe the last time we're all three of us going to be together is tomorrow afternoon. Arcand and I are here today. So we can talk about the situation if you'd like, along with your thoughts on the Red Sox and the Patriots. 617-779-7937, by the way. Your phone number. If you want to talk about the Red Sox and Pats, I don't want to take a bunch of calls on this. But just in the matter of transparency and just giving you, the truth as we know it, me and Rich Keefe are going to be working in afternoons. Arcan, you're going to be staying on, I'm sorry, in middays rather, 10 to 2. Arcan, you're going to be staying on in afternoons.
Yes.
With Andy Hart.
Yes.
And we have Mego effectively doing what Andy was doing, some podcasting, writing for the website, being a guest host on the station. That's the plan for the three of us. There will be no more Gresham Fourier. And that's what we know at this point in time. And before, Arcan, in true me fashion, you jump in. I just want to say this. I just feel bad as the person brought in and the lead host of Jones and Mego with Arcan. I just feel bad for how things have gone with the program. I'm happy with the show we did day in and day out. But I just feel bad that, this is where we're at. I'm looking forward to working with Rich. I'm excited for you and Andy. You know, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm a big fan of Andy Hart. So I'm excited for that. But I'm just disappointed in, you know, the fact that we never really got traction. And I feel responsible for that. And I feel like I let people down. So that's my piece on that with where we're at for this show. Again, it's bittersweet. I'm looking forward to working with Rich. I'm happy for you guys. But I just wish that, you know, we would have been more successful than we were. And I just, we weren't. I mean, to be blunt, we just weren't.
Yeah, agree. I mean, it's, you know, the numbers are what they are. We can all read them. We all saw them. We can all read a box score. Like, we know what the score was. And this is the reality of this business. It's a very difficult business sometimes. And there are things like this that happen. They've happened to me before. They've happened to you. They've happened to everybody. I mean, I am a big fan of yours as well. Big fan of Keefe's. I'm a big fan of Christian and Andy. I think that this is, and Mego too. I think that this is all, you know, just an unfortunate part of this process. And it's days like this are hard. You know, they're hard for us. They're hard for the listeners. It's a tough thing. You know, you get used to coming in and doing a show that we worked very hard on. You're right. I mean, we came in and really with Ryan and everybody, we really put a lot into this show. And for whatever reason, couldn't quite get the plane off the ground. And I think that, you know, you learn from that. You try again. You go off in a new show or whatever it is that you do. And try and just keep going. And that's basically what it is. This business is about continuing to just try and keep going and do the best job you can.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. You know, I have a lot of respect for the show that was on prior to us, you know?
Sure.
Lou and Christian and Mego, like they were doing pretty well. So I have a lot of respect for the challenge of Afternoon Drive in Boston. Like I say this honestly, like absolute dream job of mine from when I was young, the exact day part I wanted. Time slot, wanted to be Glenn Ordway, wanted to work that day part on this radio station. So a legit dream job. And I have a lot of respect for the job that they did. And, you know, I wish Gresham Fourier the best going forward as well. But it's a newfound respect for the challenge in this day part, a challenge, you know, on this radio station. And, you know, we didn't do well enough, which I feel bad for. And so I apologize to you. I apologize to Mego. I've told you both this off the air. I'm sure we'll repeat some of this tomorrow when we're together for the final time, I think. But that's how I feel about it. So like I said, I don't want to take a bunch of phone calls on this, but we will give out the phone number for your reaction to the Red Sox season back on, potentially taking 2 out of 3 with the Houston Astros. We have Patriots news that I want to get to. And that's where we're at, just being transparent about the news of the day here on WEEI, some housekeeping, and we'll get back to what we do. Arkham, with all the latest in trending, and we're right back.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox scored a 4-1 win over the Astros today at Minute Maid Park. Sedan Rafaela, a pair of RBI doubles for Boston. David Hamilton hit a solo homer in the ninth for insurance. Red Sox take the series and pick up a half game in the wild card standings, where they currently sit 3 games back of the Royals, who are taking on the Angels later tonight. Footnote, Angels are starting Johnny Cueto on the mound, who I did not realize was still in the major leagues. Gerard Mayo today said that Drake May is 100% ready to lead a huddle, but also said Jacoby Brissett, still the starting quarterback for the Patriots, who practice again today at Gillette as they gear up for their preseason finale on Sunday in D.C. against the Commanders. Another NFL rookie QB-related news. Bo Nix has been named the starter in Denver. Sean Payton with the announcement today after practice. Nix will be the first rookie to start week one for the Broncos since a fellow named John Elway back in 1983. And some sad news from the NBA world. Hall of Famer Al Attles, who coached the 1975 NBA champion Warriors and spent more than 60 years with the organization as a player, GM, and team ambassador, passed away at the age of 87. I'm Christian Arkan, and that's what's trending.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When it comes to that pre-snap operation for Drake May, is he in a place where if he had to start, you feel like he's ready, or do you feel like he's still kind of coming along?
100%, I think he's ready to run a huddle.
Do you need to come out of Sunday night with a starting quarterback in your mind, and do you need to tell them that early, or what is your plan for that?
I would say by Monday night, we should know who the quarterback is. You know, Sunday night game, it's always hard to really crank through the film, you know, especially on the road. But I think Monday, Tuesday, we probably need to know who it is. Now, that doesn't mean I'll tell you on Monday or Tuesday.
Right. All right, timeline. On Monday, we should know, a.k.a. after the final preseason game.
Doesn't mean he's going to tell you.
No. Right. He's not going to tell us, Joe. But they're going to know coming out of the final preseason game, which means the final preseason game matters to me. And this week at practice matters. And Drake May getting some reps with David Andrews and the offensive starters, minimal as they were. It's the most he's had, the most run he's had. I still think that door is open. I think Mayo just confirmed it. And you can jump in here on Jones and Arkin. No Mago today. We're taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. I do want to get into the game. We'll also get into your thoughts on the Red Sox as well. Did they save their season by taking 2 out of 3 from the Houston Astros? Only 3 games at current check out of a playoff spot. So you can jump in on all that.
Season's not over. So.
No, it's, I mean, I thought they were done the other day.
If they lost, then I thought maybe. But yeah.
I went into that core interview yesterday, and I'm like, all right, well, you guys are done, and you're tanking in August again, and you're out. And so
and he was like, yeah, kind
of. Yeah, no, I mean, he sounded like he was on board with it. So I'll just reiterate news of the day here at WEEI, lineup changes. There was a press release earlier today. We addressed it. If you want to hear any of that, it's on the Odyssey app. You can check it out on YouTube. Myself, Arkan, and Mego, we're going to have another final show together tomorrow, I believe. And so we'll address it more in detail there. But that's where we're at. So you can jump in on all of this. Real quick, Arkan, before we get to the Pats. Do you think they saved their season? You think the Red Sox saved their season by taking 2 out of 3 from Houston?
I think that they kept it alive a little bit longer. I don't know if they saved it. Saving it to me would imply that they're now really making a charge towards that wild card. And I think that, you know, considering that they'd split with Baltimore and still lost like a game and a half or 2 games, whatever it was over the weekend, that made it seem like it was sort of hopeless. So it doesn't seem as hopeless now. I guess that's saving the season. It's not over. I considered it more over, and now I don't really anymore.
Doesn't 3 games on August 21st feel doable, where 4.5 games on August 20th? Like, just yesterday, I'm like, 4.5 games, that's almost 5 games. They're out. 3 games feels doable.
It does. And it'll so be 3.5 probably at the end of the night, fine. Unless Johnny Cueto spins a gem out.
Fine, but like, sitting here right now, they're 3 games out, and they feel on the fringe of it, but they still feel in it. And so I thought they were done their last Houston series. I feel that they're still teetering. I don't love their chances. I don't know what the playoff odds tell you, but I feel a lot better about 3 games out than 4.5, because it felt like it was going the other way just yesterday afternoon before they took these last 2 games from Houston. So you can jump in on that. On the Patriots, practice today was interesting. We just played Jerod Mayo. We'll play more coming up here. But the details from practice, Brissett had another brutal practice, another brutal interception. Drake May outperformed him, and Drake May took his first live practice reps in 11-on-11s with all of the Patriots offensive starters. Not an offensive lineman here and there, not just David Andrews, not just Chukwuma Okorafor, not a receiver here and a tight end there, the whole offense. Now, you know, it's August 21st, better late than never, but I think the door is still ajar there for him to come in and take this job. I don't know what percentage I'd put on it. I've always wanted him to start week one. I was advocating that he would start week one and that he was going to be the starter week one. And then he never got any reps with the ones and he barely played in the first preseason game. And I backed off my instincts, which I shouldn't have done. I should have leaned in on he's the best quarterback on the team. Brissett's not very good. This team drafted him third for a reason. The first quarterback taken is going to start week one. The second quarterback taken is going to start week one. Your guy, Bo Nix, is going to start week one. J.J. McCarthy probably was going to start week one get hurt. So, like, my instinct was he was going to start week one. You take a quarterback there, he plays week one. I think there's still a chance. Do you, Arkand?
Yes, I think there is. I think that it's we're at the very end here. Gerard Mayo learned from Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick made a late decision with Mac Jones, too. I don't think it's out of the question. I think they still have their plan, and that Brissett, he said it today. He's like, Brissett's still the starter as of right now, but it's still a competition. If it's still a competition and everyone's going to play on Sunday, then that's got to be part of the competition, doesn't it? Who's been better in these games? It's not close. Drake May's been much better in that second game, to be sure. And Jacoby Brissett in any of the actual games hasn't impressed anybody. He's been good in practice. He's had some good practice sessions where he had better numbers throwing and, you know, shells than Drake May did. But I think ultimately what we're looking to see here and what they're looking to see over at Gillette Stadium is who's able to go out there and run the offense. And Mayo said it today. He's like, I think 100% Drake May can run this huddle. He can command this huddle. So,
which, by the way, that's important.
It's not just a big thing for a rookie.
Does he have the physical talent? No, 100% he can run the offense. He can get us in and out of the huddle. He can get us in and out of the play call, which seemed like minor things, but those were knocks on him early in camp. And now the coach says, whether he's telling the truth or not, I don't know, but the coach says 100% he can do it.
Yeah, I also think with Mayo, and it just sort of hit me today, like part of the reason why he's always talking in circles when it comes to the QB is that he's really being hands-off about it. Like, I don't think he's going to decide it. I don't think he's watching these guys and saying, I think this guy's better than that guy. I think he's leaving it to his people. They have this whole big brain trust of offensive people with Van Pelt and McAdoo and all those guys. I would think that a defensive-minded coach, someone like that, who was a linebacker and came up in the system this way and was a linebacker's coach, is probably deferring most of that decision-making to the offensive brain trust and, on another level, maybe to ownership.
100%. Like,
they're the ones who are probably going to pressure Drake May. You know, we want May. We're ready for him. Now's the time to play him. Go out there and put him out there. I think they may be waiting for that, and I also think he's deferring to his offensive people.
Yeah, so look, and he confirmed some of that earlier today. We'll play that for you coming up. But, yeah, I don't think it's just Mayo's call or Mayo is trying to distance himself from that. It should be the head coach's call, by the way. Like, that's whose call it should be.
Right.
In a functional organization. But I think ownership's involved. Maybe Elliott Wolff is involved. I don't know why Alex Van Pelt would be involved and Ben McAdoo, but they might be. So, right, it's a collective decision. Like, as a texter pointed out weeks ago, like goalie Bob and the Bruins, it's not one person doesn't just make the call. It's like a whole collective decision, which is not how I would run a franchise. But what do I know? Meanwhile, here's Drake May. This is an interesting exchange. He was asked about the starting quarterback and if Jacoby's the guy. Drake May, still a little green when it comes to the New England media. Here's what he had to say.
You said that, you know, with 3 snap away from taking the chance from David, you said that he's been running with the ones the whole time, you're excited for him. Do you feel like he's the starter right now?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. And, you know, I know that, you know, Jacoby's, you know, played great. I think, you know, there's an opportunity for him to go out there and, you know, make a play anytime, you know, his name's called. He knows the offense. He's been a great teacher to me, you know, as a young rookie coming in here. And I decided to, you know, be able to learn from him and continue to learn from him throughout the season when, you know, real things start going.
Okay, not 100% sure he's the starter. So is that, I don't know what I can say, I'm a rookie? Is that nobody's told me, so I don't know? Is it, I still think I have a shot? Here's how I feel about it. If May continues practicing and outperforming Jacoby Brissett on the practice field, and he continues practicing the way he has been, and he does it again in a game, Jacoby Brissett throws a bad pick today, he doesn't look good in the final preseason game, and May outperforms him, and maybe even gets some reps with the starters as he was beginning to get today, he's going to start week one. That's how I feel. Now look, there's a few caveats there and qualifiers there. Mm-hmm. He has to continue to outperform Brissett.
Right.
He has to continue to get reps with the ones, and Brissett needs to play shaky, which he has been. All those things happen, he's starting week one against Cincinnati. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. And it's not just, I understand that they had a plan and that the plan was for May, who they believe to be very green and sort of, you know, unprepared for the bright lights of the NFL, to wait around. And I know that that's Elliott Wolf's thing, and it was the thing in Green Bay, and we've been detailing for months the differences between the situations in Green Bay with Rodgers and Jordan Love as opposed to what you're dealing with here, i.e. not Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, but Jacoby Brissett standing there in front of you, which is a huge part of this. And really, I think what is going to expedite the process if they do go that way, not even so much that, yeah, you know, Drake May has been so good, it's undeniable, we have to put him out there, but we can't put Brissett out there, people aren't going to come watch this team.
Yeah, and I think, by the way, Mego says this a lot, you just said this, I'll remind people, Elliott Wolf ran things a certain way in Green Bay, and I say ran it, he didn't run anything, he was the assistant GM there, it wasn't his call, but the Packers ran things a certain way with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. That's not how he ran it in Cleveland. They drafted Baker Mayfield first overall. Mayfield was in by week three.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't a redshirt year. Baker Mayfield might have won Rookie of the Year that year. I'd have to go back and check. He had a very good rookie year.
He did, and they were 0-16 the year before they drafted him, and then they won seven games. So that was a big turnaround for them.
So he didn't play week one, but he played very early on in his rookie year. So, yes, Elliott Wolf was there in Green Bay when they slow played it, and they did not rush Aaron Rodgers. They did not rush Jordan Love, and he was there for at least the draft pick of Jordan Love, and he was there for Rodgers. How much say he had? I don't think he had much, but he was there for it. He also was there in Cleveland when they decided on the approach they took with Baker Mayfield. So to me, there is evidence that even if Wolf is running things and making the call, they're open to playing a young quarterback early. 617-779-7937. Is that door open? You can jump in on that. We'll get to an interesting answer from Gerard Mayo about who's making the call at quarterback. And we also have Red Sox, that discussion on the table. Did they save their season in Houston? Are they still alive? Paul is in Westfield. Go ahead, Paul.
Guys, I'd say that they always say the worst loss of the season, and then we pull something like these two games in the oven of a hot team. And to think today Yoshida steals his first base and Sadon hits a double, brings him in. Cora has the record with picking pinch hitters like Hamilton and getting results with the home runs. And I just found out Durant got the most doubles, 62. The only person who got more at age 25 was Ted Williams, you know. And tonight the big house shut them down. The pitching came back. It's a process. Like you said, it's frustrating. But we have these moments like today and look at the picture with what Cora is able to do with what he has. It's always interesting. You never know what teams can show up. And if they show up like this at the right time of year, we'd be surprised what could happen.
Okay, and look, Paul, I don't rule them out going on a run if they get to the playoffs. They got to get there. And I wasn't feeling good about their road yesterday. I didn't feel good the last Houston series. I feel a little better today. They beat the Astros 2 out of 3 in mm-hmm. Houston.
Yep. The bullpen was good the last two games, too.
It was.
They were like, good today, and they were good yesterday.
But do we trust that thing?
No. Starting to more than yesterday.
I trust the team a little more, but I don't know that I'm making any grand proclamations about the bullpen.
Pivetta was bad yesterday, and that pen really did the job. So, sure. You know, I mean, they were good again today.
But I don't feel better about them. I mean, look, it's better than blowing the game. It's better than the alternative, for sure. But I don't know that I've changed my opinion on them. The team? If they can keep slugging and they can beat good competition, and they've done that this year. I know the schedule's picked up in August. It's about to drop off, by the way. Arizona's good, but they have the Blue Jays coming up. They have mm-hmm. the White Sox coming up. I'm just trying to talk off the top of my head here.
It goes Arizona, Toronto, Detroit, the Mets, the White Sox, and then it gets tough again. Orioles, like Yankees, whatever.
The Mets are not playing well.
No.
So the one team in there that's been hot is Arizona. They're playing well. But New York is above 500, not playing well. The White Sox are among the worst teams in the history of baseball, okay? Detroit's not good. And Scooble's getting scaled back if you're even lined up to face him. Toronto's not good. So
you got two series with Tampa, too.
Schedule's about to lighten up.
Yep.
So start taking advantage of it. And they just beat a good baseball team here, 2 out of 3 in Houston.
And they are resilient. I mean, I said this the other day. Before they started the series, I thought, you know, this is the type of game and the type of series that this team this year has generally gone out and performed well in, just because, you know, you kind of write them off. You think that they've completely given up, or that they just can't get outs late in the innings, or that the offense is dead, or that the starting rotation, whatever it is. There's been all sorts of random issues with the team, injuries, all that stuff over the course of the season. And then they go out there and they keep fighting. I mean, that's what they've been doing. I credit Alex Cora for that. I mean, that's something that you have to look at.
Let's see if they keep fighting.
I mean, they have been so far.
Okay, but let's see. Yesterday they had another crummy August. Right now they're a game over 500 in August, so they're 10-9. Yesterday they were 8-9. I'm like, they're on pace for their fifth straight losing August, and they're four straight under court. So let's see. I don't know
but
they're going to do that
they won
yet.
The series against Houston, who swept them last time.
Well, right, but I don't know that I'm ready to make a, similar to the bullpen, a grand sweeping proclamation about Cora rescuing them. He's going to have to do it before I give him the benefit of the doubt. But I feel better about the team. How could you not? What did he say about Ted Williams? Where did he get 62? Duranda's not a 62 doubles. What's he talking about?
He's on pace for 62 doubles, maybe?
62 extra base hits? What's he talking about? I'm not sure about
No one's hit 60 doubles since like the 30s, I don't think. I don't know about that. But I think that he meant he's on pace for it. Yeah.
Maybe. I'm unclear of his stat.
Getting a lot of doubles, that guy, Durant.
Yes.
Doubles hit. He's got 39 so far.
Yes. It's not 62.
Which I think has him on pace for 50.
So not 62.
Not 62. Yeah, a lot of doubles.
He must have 62 extra base hits, which, again, is not 62 doubles. Let me hear a little more from Gerard Mayo here. This is what he had to say. And he kind of gave a few answers earlier in his press conference. One was, who's in charge of the cutdowns? Okay. And he says, well, Elliott Wolf is in charge of the cutdowns. And he's asked, well, who's in charge of the quarterback decision? And he goes, well, you know, I like to think I'm the head coach. Elliott's in charge of the roster, but I'm in charge of the game day decision. So these are two answers he gave earlier in the press conference. I believe this is Phil Perry circling back at the end and just wanted to get clarity on who's actually deciding on the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Is it Alex's decision who the starting quarterback is?
It's between Alex, myself, Elliott, and the rest of the offensive staff. I think our goal is to put the best team that we can put out there.
Have you guys seen it the same way, do you think, to this point in the summer?
I think so. I think, you know, look, I think anyone can see the confidence growing in Drake. Anyone can see Jacoby go out here and, as a total body of work, do a good job. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. It's up to Alex, myself, Elliott, and the rest of the offensive staff.
Yep.
And they're never going to say ownership, but trust me, Jonathan, maybe Robert.
The Hammer.
Yeah, exactly. Our girl, Robin Glazer. I think they all have some sort of, if not say, an ability to push the decision. Like, if it's a true toss-up, and Robert Kraft says, you know, we drafted this kid third, and he'll put asses in the seats, and if it's really close, why not lean in on the future of the franchise? I think ownership has some pull there, too. But AVP, myself, Elliott, and the rest of the offensive staff.
How do we feel about that? Well, I don't think he means, like, the tight ends coach or, like, the running backs coach. I think he means Ben McAdoo, who's a senior offensive assistant, maybe McCartney, the quarterbacks coach, the offensive coaching assistant, guys like that.
Fine. Those guys should have no say whatsoever.
I kind of agree.
Neither should Alex Van Pelt.
Oh, I think Alex Van Pelt should have some kind of say in it. If you're talking about, you know, a head coach who's not.
Alex.
I'd trust Alex Van Pelt to make the decision over Gerard Mayo.
No. I would trust Alex's feedback. I'd take feedback from McAdoo and McCartney. That's fine. Like, give your feedback on what you're seeing out on the field. It's not their call. It's not their decision. Who picks the starting quarterback? It shouldn't be. Like, that. It's not up to them. You give your feedback. You give your insight. You give your input. And then the decision makers make the decision. They're not decision makers. Alex Van Pelt has hardly ever called plays on offense. Now he's picking quarterbacks? That doesn't make sense.
Gerard Mayo's never called plays on defense.
Okay, but now he's the head coach, right? So, like, now you're the head coach. It's your job to make the call. I don't want Elliott Wolf making the call. I don't want Alex Van Pelt making the call. The coach should make the call. And the whole thing, Arkin, with ownership, I think, involved, he didn't say that, but I think they are, the whole thing feels dysfunctional. It's too many people making the decision.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen for sure, and I understand the way that it's sort of being looked at. Again, you have to remember that Gerard Mayo learned all this stuff from Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick was very hands-off with the offense. I think Mayo is too, and I think that he understands, like,
But Bill picked the starter.
Did he? I mean,
yes.
It was Brady every year for however long, and then at the end, he had Cam Newton with the ones, and then all of a sudden, at the very end, they switched it up, which I still think some sort of intervention happened there.
Yeah.
But either way, I don't know.
You think somebody other than Bill Belichick picked the starter? The only thing I'll meet you in the middle on is, at the end, I wonder if ownership let him sit back down. That's the only thing I wonder about last year, if ownership let them or let him rather sit back down. But maybe he just kept starting Mac out of spite to embarrass the kid or embarrass ownership because they wanted him in the first place, or whatever. Bill picked the starting quarterback.
Sure. All right, fine. And Bill was in charge of everything, and he, you know, ran all that. But I think that in terms of the offense, he was pretty hands-off. He picked the starter. You're right. Most years you just had to say, Tom, you're the starter,
yeah,
and that was
not that difficult. It's true.
It wasn't much of a decision to make. But towards the end, I mean, yeah, I think he was the grand poobah. He was in charge of everything. And Gerard Mayo's not that. So
why do you think they're doing the collaborative thing? Do you think they really believe in a bunch of minds all getting into a room and let's hash it out and let's have a real discourse? Or do you think people are blame shifting and no one wants to take responsibility.
I think there's an aspect of that for sure. But I also think they're very much trying to go away from what we just described, which was Bill Belichick making every decision. It's all about him. It's all about what him and Ernie Adams come up with in the office on the whiteboard, and everybody else can just bleep off. You know, like that's sort of what it had been, not just with who's going to be the starting quarterback, but who are we going to draft this year? Who are we going to sign in free agency? Who are we going to re-sign from our team, and who are we going to let go? All that sort of stuff, always centered around Bill. And I think that they're now aware of the fact that they don't have him here or anyone like him here anymore, and they want to do the opposite. I mean, it's been very much sort of we're doing things the opposite way of Bill because we want to blame this recent string of unpleasantness on Bill Belichick. So watch us do everything differently from how he used to do it.
Okay. Is the door still open? Who's making the call on that decision? And how big of a week is this for Drake May? Feels like a big one. 617-779-7937. If May's the starting quarterback, how much does it raise the ceiling for this team? We'll get to that mixed in with all your Red Sox phone calls next.
Jerod Mayo says a competition. Drake May could still start opening day. He doesn't know who the opening day starter is. If you watch practice, that's just not true. They ran a 10-minute session. Probably ran, I don't know, 20 plays. If they ran 20 plays, Jacoby Brissett got 18 with the starters. Drake May got 2 with the backups. To me, that's not a competition. That means they're going forward with Jacoby Brissett as the opening day starter.
As Greg Bedard, prior to today's practice, I said this yesterday, Arkin. If Drake May starts week one, I wonder if these beat writers know what they're looking at. Like I really genuinely wonder if they have any idea. And I like a lot of them. It's not like I dislike them, but I felt this way last year in training camp with Mac, where they're like, Mac looks good. The offense looks good. No more Patricia. No more Judge. Mac's back on track. Mm-hmm. Like all this nonsense. And I'm like, I'm not there. I'm not watching every day. You guys are. I just don't know if you know what you're looking at because I've seen Mac Jones. And I feel the same way about Brissett. People were early on, Brissett looks good. Brissett's a functional quarterback. This, that, Drake May is shaky, blah, blah, blah. I know Jacoby Brissett. I know what he is. And I like to think I have a good idea about Drake May from his college tape. No one knows it'll be in the NFL, but I certainly know what he's capable of and what the upside is. And so I wonder the value in going down there, logging all these practices, looking at every throw, watching all the reps, watching all the drills, to have Bedard come out one day and say it's not a competition, and he's been beating that drum.
Mm-hmm.
If May's the starter week one, whew, that's a quick reversal. That's a quick change. And I wonder if they know what they're looking at.
Yeah, I also think that there's been a progression. I think that he's improved as camp's gone on. I don't think that that's all, you know, like he was great to begin with all this whole time, and they just, everybody was looking at it and just blindly agreeing with what Jerod Mayo was saying, or with what, you know, Van Pelt or whoever else was saying about what the plan is going forward. I think that, you know, they've been pretty fair about what May has looked like, what Brissett's looked like, and we all were able to see together what they look like in the actual game. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt there. And May is a young developing player who's going to continue to get better, or maybe like Mac Jones, get better and then suddenly suck. Like, who knows? You never know until you actually see him out there against the ones, which we again haven't seen. We see him practice with the ones today, but we still haven't seen him go against any other team's ones, even in the joint practices. So I think that that's, you know, that's another interesting wrinkle to this that we're going to get a look at. The offensive line still, I think, is very, very poor. I still think they have a lot of issues to address on that offense that's going to make it harder for him. But if he can go out there and be a functional quarterback and run the offense and lead the huddle and do sort of those other things that maybe we weren't sure he was ready to do yet, then yeah, what else do you need to see?
That's how I feel about it. And by the way, he is now getting reps at practice with the starters. Minimal as they are, it's happening. It started happening earlier this week. It started happening before they had yesterday off or whatever it was. It's happening again. May is outperforming Jacoby Brissett at pretty much every practice. Brissett had one throw the other day, a long play down the field, but it's not like he had a great practice. He had one throw. Brissett has looked awful in the preseason games. I think May's looked fine to pretty good. Like, I think the first game, even though he only played one series and I was frustrated by it, he looked fine in that game. He looked better last week. Daily, he continues to outperform Jacoby Brissett. Okay, Brissett threw a brutal pick by all accounts today. So he had a better practice. He's getting more reps. As Andrew Callahan tweeted today, for the first live practice reps, 11 on 11, all offseason, he was out there with every offensive starter. So this is a big week for Drake May. Continue to outperform Brissett. Continue to outplay him in a preseason game. Continue to get reps with the starters. You check those three boxes, you're the starter week one against Cincinnati. That's how I feel about it. How much higher is their ceiling this year, Arkin? I know long term it's higher. Does it really move the needle at all in terms of their win total this year if it's Drake May compared to Jacoby Brissett? Because I've heard this a lot. What difference does it make if you get Brandon Ayuk? You're not going to win any more games.
Right.
What difference does it make if you trade Matthew Judon? You're not going to win any more games. So does it make a difference if it's Drake May?
I think it absolutely does. And I think it makes a difference if you start him right away, because we're talking about the progression, again, the progression of a young player. This is a guy who's developing, who's getting better, who's figuring things out, who's gaining the experience of being out there in front of the line, taking snaps and throwing passes. This is all stuff that you don't necessarily look at Jacoby Brissett and think, oh, yeah, he's really going to improve as the year goes on. He's going to suddenly, you know, figure out how to move in the pot and do all these things. Jacoby Brissett is what he is. We all know what he is. We've seen him since the very beginning of his career. We knew what he was back then. We don't know what Drake May is yet, and I think that in terms of him getting better and the offense getting better around him, the longer he's out there, the more likely he is to develop in a positive way. I just think that that's basic progression. You know, like, I don't.
Yeah.
It's not that I think Brissett sucks or whatever. I mean, he's perfectly good backup, and he'll probably be one of the better backups in the league once May takes over. But it's really about him progressing, and I think if he progresses, that could up the win total. Sure.
Here's how it raises their ceiling. If May's awesome, and I'm not saying he will be, but if May's awesome, you could win. You could be a playoff team depending on how good he is, right? Like that. That's in
if he's really awesome.
That's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Sure,
that's
yeah,
in the range of outcomes. I mean, if he really hits and he is your CJ Stroud, you could be a playoff team. I'm not forecasting that. I'm not predicting that. But with Jacoby Brissett, you were going to be lucky to win five or six games. You know, I think May, the range of outcomes are large. He could go out there and be a disaster, and you win, to Andy Hart's point, zero games. But I like to think your ceiling's higher, and I bet on a higher ceiling. I'm not afraid of the floor with this team. They're supposed to be a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of the floor. I'm leaning in on the ceiling if I'm the Patriots. You guys can jump in here. 617-779-7937. Speaking of Andy Hart, he's going to be with Rich Keefe tonight beginning at 6 o'clock. You can dial him up. They're full tank. Full four-hour show, after the
Any
Red Sox.
Any programming questions, you can direct to them. Yes.
I was going
to
say, full reaction to the Red Sox, the Patriots, the news of the day here on WEEI, which we addressed earlier. Again, check that out on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. It'll be posted there potentially. Maybe not. Odyssey app it'll be. And we'll talk about it more in full tomorrow when myself, Mego, and Arkand are reunited for one final time. Let's go to AJ in Dover. Go ahead, AJ. AJ.
Hello?
AJ.
Hello?
What's up, buddy?
You hear me?
Yeah, no, we got you,
how
AJ.
We doing?
You got us?
Yeah, I got you now.
What are you doing? Some dust busting? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm at my job. So. Okay.
Cool.
It's a lot of walking around vacuuming and stuff, so I'm on hold.
Okay.
What's on your mind, AJ?
So I think when it comes to the Red Sox, I think the word that I've been using a lot is, like, cautiously optimistic.
Okay, he's cautiously optimistic about the Red Sox.
Okay.
There's his take. I get that. I've been just optimistic all year. Until they got swept by the Astros, I've just been outright optimistic.
I stopped being optimistic after the deadline. I thought that they had much more work to do. They had the bullets and the gun to go out there and really make changes. All the other teams did. And when they came up short, that I stopped being optimistic after that. That put a real damper on the rest of the season for me.
You guys, and look, I don't want to say I put no stock in the deadline, but I thought this team was good enough prior to the deadline. And so far, I look wrong on that. We'll see. But cautiously optimistic, we'll take it. David's in the car. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. So, I don't think either way, if the matter starts, the Patriots are going to go to the playoffs. But I will say this. We can't really say we know Brissett that well.
Because, we can't.
Yeah, he was here for a while, but he was a backup. He didn't get to play. And
yeah,
then he went elsewhere, and he was a backup as well. So,
he started also.
David, what does that tell you? He's been a backup for 8 years in his career. That doesn't tell you anything?
Because why is that? Because the other teams had real good quarterbacks.
Did they?
That's why he was a backup.
He was the backup to Sam Howell last year. He was the backup to Deshaun Watson for a chunk of time, I guess. Decent quarterback. Who was he backing up in 2021? Tua?
Yes.
Was he even? In Indianapolis, it was some of Andrew Luck. So, like, Andrew Luck was hurt a ton there, though, so he got to play. He's 18-30 in his career. He's been a backup for 8 years.
Yeah, and also his contract expired, and there were teams that could have signed him to be a full-time starting quarterback over the course of those years. Like, he didn't. This wasn't the first time he was available to be signed in an offseason. No teams looked at him that way. They look at him as a high-end backup, which he is, but come on.
He's played for 5 teams. He's been a backup for all 8 years of his career. He's 18 and 30. But we don't know what he is yet. I think we know what he is.
We got an idea.
Stay tuned. You got Keefe and Hart, full tang, taking you up until 10 here on WEEI. Myself, Mego, and Arkham. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2. A lot going on here on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market.
The greatest gift will be
I don't
for
know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.